You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of What Most People Think, and it is November, and all of you autumn people, right, that give it that autumn is so lovely and so beautiful with all the nice colours. Now we're into the proper autumn. You keep saying that. Keep telling me about your season that is definitely not as good as summer or spring. And I'm going to bring in Vittorio Angeloni, making a welcome return to the podcast. Firstly, hello.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Are you an autumn prick?
That sounds like a slang word for a medical condition. I think when the leaves are colorful and still on the trees, that's when I'm on board with autumn. But as soon as it all sort of starts to hit the ground and then it just becomes mulch that you're walking through all day and it's miserable and wet, and I think I am more of a winter person than an autumn person.
I mean, the thing is, the leaves are those colors because they're dead. I mean, I don't know how the leaf community feel about us sort of luxuriating in the color of their death rattles.
Their demise. But isn't it, there's something about it's the trees pumping all of their waste products into the leaves and then they get rid of them. So the leaves falling is literally the trees shitting all over all of us.
That's beautiful. That is
what a gorgeous season to write poems about.
Such beautiful colours. And you know, you can eat soup and wear scarves. It's just not, it's not enough, autumn people. Every year I say it, it's not enough to be the best season. The best season, definitely spring, because everything's slowly getting better. I mean, winter, there's a certain honesty about winter. It is what it is. Everything is dead and cold.
And we've crowbarred in Christmas to like there's like something to look forward to in winter, but like autumn has Halloween, but sort of who cares?
Kids, only kids, literally.
Only kids care, absolutely. But then Christmas sort of has something for everyone.
I'm glad that we started off with this autumn hate. Vittorio is on tour. Did you think about Vittorio on Torio? at any point for a title?
I'm not one of these punter name comedians. I know it's the real go-to, but I just think it's been, we've had about 15 years of everybody doing a little, oh, isn't that funny? Because it's like my last name. And I think I'm making a conscious decision to avoid puns in show titles.
Or you could make it, I mean, the problem is some of them are already deliberately bad. So even if you took it to the extreme of like, Angeloni on his own, you know, I mean, I'm just again enjoying just how Italian your name sounds and trying to get every angle out of that. But we'll talk about your tour later in the show. Piss Take Prices is a new thing that I'm doing. I produced my first Piss Take Price leaderboard of shame over the weekend. And it really has caught the imagination, particularly on Facebook. Now, on the leaderboard of shame, there was Sprite, which was $3.99 for 500 milliliters. That's exactly what a Piss Take Price should do. It should take your breath away a little bit, right? Mark Steele in last week's episode talked about having to pay £4 for some extra gravy.
What?
Yeah, that's exactly the response. But the controversial one was the Imperial War Museum, where they had some scones for £7.30. And I thought everyone would be on board. But a lot of middle-aged men who love museums were quick to point out the Imperial War Museum is free entry. So they literally have to charge that much for scones.
I mean, like, that's the biggest crime in that place.
There's the gag. There is the gag. but under pressure, I'm just going to bow to pressure because I don't get threatened with cancellation much these days. But I'm going to say that, you know, middle-aged men that go to war museums are very much my constituency. On a pure business, shameful, Riyadh level decision, I'm going to remove them. And we're going to investigate. Well, I'm going to put forward a new one that we've got. And then if you tell me yours, if you've got one. There was a lot of bad juju around the AO Arena in Manchester. Just prices there, outrageous. But one woman sent me, I forget her name and I'm sorry about that. The Co-op, which is adjacent to the AO Arena, had a Smirnoff Raspberry Crush can in there, £9.90, Vittorio.
There's a consideration to be made for event pricing. Like that's sort of... They've got a captive audience. It's like festival prices. That's just sort of part and parcel of going to... I mean, your fault for going to see anything in an arena. I basically have no respect for anyone that goes to anything at an arena. What are you doing?
Well, I think that is a fair point in itself. Probably one of the worst places to see comedy. I think that you're right. I sort of dismissed quite a few prices because I go, look, it's arena prices. That's what happens. This is adjacent to the venue. But the thing I suppose that really pissed me off and the real piss take element is £9.90. That is...
Stop pretending it's not a tanner.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of, we're fucking you, but we're going to pretend that we're not fucking you. So that does get a place on the leaderboard. But I'm interested to hear if you've got anything recently that's taken
you. I have one from quite a while ago, actually. And it was the first time I'd ever been to London. And I was on a youth orchestra trip and we were playing at the school's proms. So I was playing at the Albert Hall that night in the Belfast Youth Orchestra. And we went into a cafe sort of round the corner from the Albert Hall, pretty nice area of town or whatever. And we walked in and I ordered just a bottle of Coke. And it was one of those small glass 250ml bottle of Cokes. And the lady said, oh, that's £2.70. And I said, what? And she went, oh, yeah, it's on offer. and this is 15 years ago when £2.70 could buy you a house.
And you know what's so beautiful was she thought that your shock was just what a bargain you were getting.
Exactly. She's been in Kensington for too long.
She's going, I know. Go on, stock up, young man.
Crazy.
That is, if you factor in inflation, I would say that is the equivalent of about £4.20 now. That's how fucking
for only 250ml, that's important. That's not even a can.
It's interesting. Can we, because we're applying certain coefficients. Like I had to apply like a Yorkshire coefficient because I was getting a lot of messages from people from Yorkshire who just think that everything is expensive. So like I had to sort of like do a little bit of sifting there. I also had an email from Matt who said, I thought I was being a middle-class prick for buying the Jason's sourdough at Tesco for £2.10. Well, first up, you were, but let's read on. Only to discover that in Marks and Spencer's, it's £4.50 for a standard sourdough loaf. But I've since found a local farm shop on the Essex-Suffolk border churning them out £6.50 a loaf. I mean, look, I'm being a hypocrite here. I do like a bit of sourdough toast with Marmite on it. It's better on my middle-aged stomach, but £4.50, and they're not even that big, are they?
No, and I think sourdough has had a moment for a few years now, and I think it'll be. I am yearning for the return of tiger bread being in vogue.
Tiger bread always had a slight aftertaste to it, which I always thought was a weird thing for a bread to have.
I think you're eating moldy tiger bread.
but also quite pretentious as well. Of all the names that bread has, tiger bread, it was
it's the most pizzazz. It's the most showbiz bread name.
It is. I suppose it's called tiger bread. It's because of the markings, isn't it?
Yes, it just looks tigerish. I'd imagine is why they've gone for that. I like it. I'm a big proponent of tiger bread.
Tiger, well, you heard it. Here's a little tip. Tiger bread is going to have a moment. Sourdough, sell. If you've got shares in sourdough, sell.
If you've got a sourdough starter in your fridge, get rid.
yeah. Buy a tiger. So this week, I just want to remind people what this podcast is. It's a topical comedy podcast with people who don't want to just hear their own views on a loop. I know that nuance is wildly out of fashion at the moment, but I like speaking to people from all different sorts of backgrounds. As I often say, Vittoria, this is the opposite of what a podcast should be. A podcast should be like your brilliant one with Mike. It should be the same two people usually, but you know, I have a realm of guests, and I appreciate that people basically tune in knowing that they might hear some stuff that pisses them off. We're going to talk about first up the horrific thing, the attack on that train in Huntingdon. I got off stage in Chelmsford. I'd had such a lovely gig, and then I heard about that. I felt sick in my stomach because that's not that far from where I live. And I thought about talking about it now, but just before coming on air, we've seen that there's a guy charged, and I thought what I'd do is I'll wait. You know, unlike the trend of deciding everything in the moment, I'm going to wait till later in the week with the breaking news episode and just talk about everything around that.
Well, what seems very clear is the staff absolutely smashed it, like a complete hero.
Two members of staff, fucking fair play to them, and God willing, you know, the two people that are still in hospital get out okay. Well, they won't be okay, but you know, get out alive. We're going to talk about tax. There was a lot of talk about tax over the weekend, and Vittoria, I'm interested, as a young man, I know what my views are on tax. It's basically I hate it, and that everybody, that I shouldn't have to pay it at all. It's not a completely reasonable take. I also know, you know, you're doing all right with the old Patreon and that. You know, this might be a time in your life where you've got revenue. So I'll be interested to pick your brain to see where your head's at on in a moment. Also, Labour defined working people as those under 45 grand a year, which is interesting because that kind of rules out plumbers. So it's interesting. We're also going to talk about an article that kind of went viral in Vogue saying, is it embarrassing to have a boyfriend? Now, I spoke a couple of episodes ago with Francis Foster on what I think is the, not maybe as hostile as the manosphere, but there's definitely the femosphere, as I'm calling it.
Wow, that's awful. The femosphere sounds like an uncomfortable contraceptive.
What, like a kind of membrane-like sort of latex? The femosphere. Quiet, subtle, hypoallergenic. The femosphere. Well, the fact that it's awful, I think, is a reason to call it that. But there was some brilliant, there's some amazing stuff in this article that we're going to unpick. One of the quotes I'll give you now is where the writer says, look, no one should feel ashamed about falling in love with a man. I sense that there's some overcorrection going on here. And in the Patreon only, people really seem to enjoy the story of my abject death at a gig in Brighton many years ago on the Mark Steele episode. So me and Vittorio are going to trade death stories in the Patreon only. New patrons, just a quick update. So obviously it was the first of the month. Do check that your account is still active if you still want to get it. There's been jiggery pokey that I'm sure that Vittorio will know about with Apple. So suffice to say that if you want to join either of our patrons or both, it's best if you do it through the website or an Android device. I don't know if you remember from before, Vittorio, that we rinse the names of the new people. We've got one patron I didn't call out when he joined. His name's Rob Gaunt.
If Rob Gaunt
is fat, that is bad, isn't it?
That's a real pressure to stay thin.
Yeah.
But then also you'd think it's embarrassing if he stays too thin. He's got to be perfectly medium build for the entirety of his whole life.
Yeah, life. I mean, you know, like how you get your name. Some people get their names for what their family did once upon a time.
Yeah, what was...
I'm guessing his family were...
They set up the first Slimming World?
Yeah. They were just... they just did a lot of marathons. Yeah. But Rob Gaunt, you know what, Rob? I do think I did call out your name. There is a chance sometimes where patrons don't listen to every single episode, but I'm happy. Thank you for your service, Rob Gaunty. Gaunty, stag do legend. Wait till you see him. He's fat as fuck, mate. So funny.
Perfect. It is perfect. It is. I hope he's so fat. I hope he's so fat. That's great.
What's the opposite of nominative determinism? You know, where you're like the opposite of what your name is.
Yeah. Well, I guess it still does determine it, but it's just like negative nominative determinism, isn't it?
Well, if you're not, I've been doing a bit in the current tour about like women's names when they have a name that implies virtue. So if your name's Hope.
Just deathly depressed lady called Hope has nothing to look forward to.
Miserable cow that just hates life. And Summer and her mate Summer, just these two.
Grace, who's dyspraxic and falls over all the time.
Clumsy as fuck, Grace. we've got other patrons to join. Chris Cariolis. That's a cool name. Chris Cariolis.
Cariolis. It sounds like he owns a kebab shop. But like a real dodgy kebab shop that's definitely a front for something else.
Yeah. That's like a long firm. Chris Cariolis, or could be like a tech house DJ, is one of those names. It's welcome to the patron community. And we've also got just a Rob as well. So if we are getting single names, we try to determine which woke institution they work in that forbids them from liking an edgelord, a fucking out there edgelord like me. So, I mean, where would Rob work where he couldn't admit to liking me? Do you think he works in, I reckon he's DEI for like some company that have recently sort of rode back on the DEI, but there's also a lot of internal like backlash to that as well.
Yeah, but I like the idea of somebody who works for in like DEI as their job and they really don't want to. It's just like the only job that was listed when they were made unemployed from their last job at a right-wing think tank.
Do you know what, mate? I've had emails over the years from those exact people. Like,
that's so just, funny. Just
incompetence, just going, I fucking hate it.
I've got to put food on the table.
But just having to go for like unconscious bias training of being told not to think things that they already didn't think, you know. And that's happened in a lot of companies. But imagine like, you just maybe like center right, socially liberal, economically right wing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
someone
yeah.
like me just sitting there, just having to sit through a 2-hour session on the patriarchy.
But imagine they are giving the session because that's just the only job that they could find. And it's just this guy who doesn't believe in it whatsoever going, the thing is, right, like we all have racist thoughts all the time, don't we? And he just doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in himself.
It's all, although, I mean, we say that, I haven't, but podcasters doing native reads for products, I guess.
My favorite thing to do is sleep on my Emma mattress. Shut up. Shut the
I will laugh along with you now, Vittorio, but if I get one of those in, I'm reading it, man. I'll absolutely. You're right.
Jeff Norcott, sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mate, I would say, if they said it's an arms trader, I'd say, to which countries? That's the only clarification I'd want. Is it one of the good ones?
As long as you're dealing to both sides, I'm happy enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Nuance. Domain talking point. Our super patron, David Domain, who listens to previous week's episodes and gets in touch and illuminates and gives us little bits of trivia. I was talking about the fact that this story about that the Romans called the river Avon because the name Avon was named for rivers at that time in England. So they asked the local, what's that called? And he said Avon, but they were all called Avon. So it's kind of a fluke of history. And David says that river names in England are typically of Celtic origin. Avon was simply the Celtic word for river, Afon in Welsh. They've always got to be different, haven't they, Welsh? Fucking hell. There are other recurring river names in England. Stour, meaning strong. Derwent, meaning river of the oak trees. Ouse, meaning water. And Calder, meaning rapid stream. And we also spoke about Aquae Sulis as the original name that Romans gave Bath. That does sound like the most expensive mineral water you've ever had at a restaurant, doesn't it?
Yeah. The only one of those that has become a door-to-door makeup company is Avon, though. You don't have like your dad sells Star.
That's such a good point. In Celtic, did Avon also mean like blusher? But like, you know, when like it was just literally you pricked your finger and had to...
Yeah.
Do you know one thing I've often thought is the first woman that ever put on makeup, I bet all the other women just went, you fucking idiot, man. What have you started?
Yeah, crazy. Like, I mean, that's the narrow end of the wedge, isn't it?
This is like, you just split the atom on us having to fucking do this bollocks the rest of us our lives.
Like the scene from Oppenheimer where he's like clutching at his head and his eyes are like darting backwards and forwards, but it's just a woman with a tiny bit of lipstick on for the very first time going, oh God, what have I done?
What have I done? Oh, she just crushed a flower up and the petals were dry and she just was like, oh, I'll stick a little bit of that there. And then there was a couple of older, wiser women were going, great, now forever we have to do this shit. And there will come a time where women literally do this for the school run. That's on you, Felicity.
Yeah, but it's the narrow end of the wedge of like people injecting plastic into their lips. Like, this is, whoever that woman is, one of the worst people in history.
She's Pandora. That was what was actually in Pandora's box, was some really crude lipstick. Nokia, we were talking about the day that Nokia found out that the smartphone was amazing and what they did afterwards. David says that Nokia still make excellent dumb phones, even G4 compliant. Batteries last days on them, have proper buttons, tough and cheap to run and pay and go. I do think that's where a lot of us will end up. I do think, like, if something makes you unhappy for long enough, as smartphones generally do, we will go back to those things that look like TV remotes. But, well, fair play to Nokia. And we also talk about adverts. We talk about, like, this thing, you know, with the Reform MP talking about representation in adverts. And David said that he noticed in lots of radio adverts that a lot of them will use kind of like the London urban type accent. And I've noticed that as well. And it is kind of funny because I guess – I don't know if they think that they makes it appeal to a broad, like, one, they might think it's good for diversity or appeals to a broader group of people. But sometimes it can be really incongruous when that is like a young, funky accent and it's for fucking life insurance. And it's some guy going, hey, you know, Sun Life, they don't play, you know, Sun Life, the premiums are low and you get a pen.
Yeah, free Parker pen, innit?
You get free Parker pens. What? And I just think maybe there needs to be at least still be some synergy between the brand and the thing. What most
people think. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Okay, the thank you. I want to thank people at last week's gig. So I was doing Pocklington and Otley, and Ricky Gervais, who I followed, and he follows me and has done for, well, that sounds like, oh, you know, I've never met him, but he follows me. So anyway, he saw it and he commented that neither of those places sound like real places, which is fair. Pocklington, Otley.
Gervais is out of touch.
I mean, when you do massive arenas, I don't think you need to necessarily go.
I don't think there is an O2 Otley arena or whatever.
No one's paying $9.99 at the Pocklington Art Centre. But I said that Pocklington, so he said they sounded like made up places. I said that Pocklington sounds like something a posh person shouts when they stand on Lego, like, instead of swearing. This is the funny thing though, is this is the power like of clout. Just him replying, not even resharing what I did, just him replying caused a bump in my ticket sales greater than any marketing push for this tour so far.
One reply from Twitter does more than live at the Apollo now.
Fucking reply from Ricky. So I don't know if he listens, but Ricky, feel free to just fucking reply. You can even troll me. I don't even
just
care.
Abuse me.
Just abuse. I'll take everything. And this week's gigs, I'm in Redditch on Wednesday. I'm in Monmouth on Thursday. Both of those have got decent availability, but Alnwick and Newcastle on Saturday and Sunday, they're like over 80% sold. So do get involved there. Vittorio, the fuck you. What's your fuck you this week?
Fuck you. This is slightly inside baseball, but I think the audience might be able to get on board if you've been to sort of lineup comedy show recently. There's a lot of, I say young comedians of my age who all sort of have routines around the idea, or they mention the idea of like, and look, I'm Gen Z or I'm millennial. I'm never going to be able to buy a house. And I think lots of people are allowed to complain about house prices and the economy and all of that stuff. But if you are a professional stand-up comedian, I think you have to accept the fact that you might not own property. Like, clowns don't get houses. Do you know what I mean? They don't get houses. That's a crazy... Have you seen how many clowns have to share a car? Of course you don't own a house. Ridiculous.
Clowns don't get houses. Does sound like a broader philosophical point about... in the same way that they don't get emotional peace, perhaps.
Yeah.
It's become one of... It's interesting, isn't it? How a certain punchline just becomes a default thing. Mm. Like, I remember it happened with... during the credit crunch. Like, yeah, I've been around now long enough to have seen a few of these. With the credit crunch, it would be you just had at one point you just had to say the bankers. You didn't even have to say what your view was. And then it was this weird thing where implying that there was a time when implying that Prince, where Charles wasn't Harry's dad, was controversial. And then it sort of became the thing that everybody thought. But then there was still a point where you'd say it at a gig and people would go, whoa, in this kind of like Pavlovian learnt way. And yeah, maybe millennials saying that they'll never be able to afford a house. Who are comedians. Look, you made your bed. Do you know what I mean?
We're pursuing a career in the worst art form.
Only poets have made a worst choice. Property owning poets.
And maybe graffiti artists apart from one of them.
And skateboarders going, fuck. Join the club.
Never going to own a house, like shaking a spray can. Of course you're not going to own a house.
We spray things on houses. All right, we're going to talk kind of politics now. There's a lot of speculation over tax at the weekend, so we're going to get into the guts of that. So as I said, a lot of speculation over the weekend. I've got Vittorio on. You are late 20s, right?
Yeah, just about the latest of the 20s.
You're doing all right for yourself, bro. You know, we all see the Patreon, bro. So I don't know if this is the first time in your life where you've been earning well, but you're doing well. Just before we get into this, I'm just genuinely interested, is whatever your view was on tax before that, have you slightly adjusted? The reason I ask is because you remember when Corbyn was first like trying to be prime minister, there was grime for Corbyn. And then I noticed that the next election, there wasn't as much grime for Corbyn. And I always wondered if that's because they'd done really well and had their first capital gains tax bill.
Their first tax bill?
Yeah. And they were sort of like getting a property portfolio. They, you know, maybe we need to rethink this whole thing.
Yeah, I think it is this thing of for roughly 11 months of the year, I'm sort of very left-leaning and believe in sort of taxing the rich, and tax can be a good thing and we need to tax people to have proper social services and all of that. And then I have to do my tax return and I go, this is theft. This is a fucking disgrace.
Just, I'm going to live in Argentina. That Milia, the guy with the mad hair.
I think if you have a PAYE job or an office job or a 9-to-5 or whatever, it just sort of comes out. You never see that money. You never have to put it to one side. You don't have to sort of deal with that. But I think it's the fact that being self-employed means you get all of the money, and then it's your responsibility to go, well, some of that's not really mine, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Just get a real grump about it.
Then you start thinking about what that pays for. And then I suppose it's when you get a speeding thing and then you have to go to the workshop to not have the points on your license. People will say, oh, you should be out catching real criminals. The amount of focus you get on government spending when you have your first big tax bill, what am I funding it? What am I funding that I don't like? I mean, it's interesting. I mean, income tax is the one that they're discussing. There seems to be, I don't know, some chance they might do that. If they were going to do income tax, surely they had to do that straight away, because they did come in and they slightly performatively, maybe there was truth in it, but said, it's a disaster, there's no money. And it's like dot, 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 so we're going to do this. But there wasn't the dot, dot, dot. The dot, dot, dot ended up with, we're taking away winter fuel, which personally I supported if done the right way. But eventually they rode back on that. So have they fucked this, whereby the window of time to do this without losing political capital was about a year and a half ago?
Probably, but I also think that income tax is a bit of a false god to go at, because the vast majority of people who are making crazy money aren't they're too clever with their money just to be receiving that in a salary every month. You know, they're a director of the company and they're getting paid dividends and they've got an offshore this and this savings thing and it's tied up in that. And their wife's a director of the company as well, technically, and she's getting paid this and doing whatever. So I think it seems that governments always sort of miss the people that are actually at the top of earners and actually exploiting the system by going, well, it's the big earners because of the political capital that they're trying to gain, because they can go, well, everybody earning this much, which is more than most people, and you would assume most people will vote for that. But it's actually not, that's not where the big problem is. And I don't think that's where the big gains in tax income are going to be made. You need to go at the sort of corporate side of things and tighten up all of these loopholes that...
But the super rich. I mean, the argument against that is that they're so rich that they're nimble, whereby it's literally those kind of supervillains in a volcano where they suddenly you see rocket boosters and they just move the volcano somewhere else.
That is
the problem. But I mean, the other thing that they're saying is get rid of national insurance altogether. And national insurance is a fucking spurious tax. The idea that there's these different pots is hilarious. Some people do think it, I paid my full stamp. It all goes into one thing. So they can get landlords, because obviously they fucking just despise all landlords, even though Rachel Reeves is one. But that would mean that they get pensioners. Good luck with that, because I think recently one thing has been shown is pensioners ain't giving up shit. They're just this community of people. Now they're the generation that didn't even fight in a war, but they certainly got that trench warfare mentality.
Useless generation of elderly people we've ever encountered. And they all have this ego as if they did, storm the beaches of Normandy. They had the most blissful time to grow up.
Well, given the average age of my patrons, I feel that even for strategic reasons, I should push back a little bit. I suppose, what I would say is this, right? I don't think that they do have a lot of money now, and I do think they've been overly protected with the triple lock and winter fuel. I do think that, right? But they didn't have fun with the money when they were younger. That was the thing, is they look at the frivolous, even of Gen X and older millennials. And I think that they're a bit sort of cursing their choices, because if you look at them when they were 30, they looked fucking older. They would maybe they would have
a very suited side party. Yeah, very,
very serious lives. They had to share bath water. Some of them still had to share outside. So I think that for them, maybe their kind of Second World War was the fact that the material element of their lives was shit. And they get to go on cruises now. And look, I think that intergenerational unfairness is a fucking weird quirk of our times, but maybe that's how they see it. They didn't have enough fun.
What most people think.
The other things that they're discussing is they're doubling council tax for properties worth over $1 million, right? Again, like, I think that will have a lot of support in the country, the wider country, right? Because that is a fucking lot of money. You know, it's a lot of money to most people. But there will be people in London who have properties that are worth that are not crushing it, right? But I just don't think they'll give a fuck about that. I think that they're so unpopular, Labour, they'll probably just do this. I guess the issue is with council tax, is that it's supposed to be about the services, isn't it? It is a wealth tax, isn't it? If you just say how big it is. Well, maybe then if they just go, look, you are paying at the higher rate, but you get a few little nice touches. So, you know, when they put the bin back, you get a little mint on it. Like, you know.
Oh,
like
a little after eight.
Ooh. Yeah, like on the pillow at the hotel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need some like sort of silver service for the council.
VIP tier, council tax.
All the dog litter bins are gold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get like speedy boarding when you go up the council offices.
Exactly.
Like boarding an easy chair. Just, but they're not offering anything back. Just say, look, these are little benefits. Yeah. Do like a Patreon where you go, look, we recognise the contribution you're making. And yeah, like you'll get a coffee while you wait at the council office.
You get a fist bump from the bus driver.
You get a fist. You know, like with VA when they welcome their One World Alliance partners.
Exactly. There's a lounge at the bus stop specifically for council tax payers.
Get little mini pastries there. The other thing's discussed exit tax, kind of like for the super rich. So, you know what you're saying about go for the super rich. So there's an exit tax. It's a one-off thing. I don't know. It's unclear how much that would make, right? The other thing it would do, I guess, if we want entrepreneurs, is it might people think, well, I'm not going to live there because when I want to leave, they'll do an exit tax. So am I just protecting the wealthier? Because everything, all the measures that sort of take more from the rich, I'm kind of shitting on them, I guess.
Yeah, you're a big lefty, Jeff. I've always said it about you. You're basically a communist at this point.
Basically, well, yeah, if you read X, I am. I suppose the other thing that is possible here is that they just carry on like fiddling around the edges, right? Just kind of like fiddling while Rome burns. And this is a bait and switch, right? You know that thing that chancers sometimes do. So they've done all of this. I think this is unlikely, but not impossible. It's so on budget day, Rachel Reeves gets up and talks in a very angry way and says, so we will not be taking income tax. So they're just doing all of this just for that moment that all their MPs just point at the opposition and go, gutted, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
We thought we were going to raise income tax, and we haven't. Even though we might have slightly suppressed the economy for a while as everyone worried about it, we're not doing the thing. So
yeah.
The new win is that we're not doing something bad that you thought we were going to do. Could it be that?
Yeah, the little switch. I don't know. I have my own thoughts on who they should tax. I mean, I'm a Northern Irish Catholic, so I obviously think they should just take all the money off the royal family. Tax Bonnie Blue. She's making too much, I think. A specific, like, OnlyFans tax.
Yeah, and also an extra tier if you're kind of specifically targeting barely legal young men.
Also, like, she's putting other sex workers out of work, so she's probably negatively impacting the economy. In a serious way.
Or she should open like a benevolent institute for young sex workers, the Bonnie Blue Academy, where she's actually bringing through the next generation of talent.
I think tax the Welsh. I think they've had it too good for too long.
Yep.
Just a general tax on being Welsh. And then this one actually I think could be a good idea. Billboards and like big advertising spaces. I think the world has become completely plagued with just like flashing. There's a poster everywhere. You can't. If you try and spend a day without looking at an ad, it's completely impossible. Yeah. So I think there should be an extra tax on like public space advertising, because I think it's a kind of complete plague on our society, and there'll be an uptick in well-being.
Especially backlit stuff. Backlit.
Yes.
You know, like those old bits, those medieval taxes that seemed really odd and specific. Like in 400 years, it would be so odd, the backlit tax. But if you're advert...
Well, in Ireland, they used to tax windows. There was like a sunlight tax. The English used to take money for trying to get a tan.
See? Fucking innovators, mate. We always have been.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up. so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
We're going to do a quick hype here. 2026 dates. I'm two-thirds away through my autumn leg. Just loving doing this show. 2026, got loads of dates. I think now it's up to 38. So geographically, it is very unlikely that I won't be coming somewhere near your town. So if you want to see my show, do check out Live Nation. And Vittorio, you are on to... So your tour start in January?
Starts in January. So technically, I'm doing my show in New York next week. So that's technically part of the same tour, but it's just for New York Comedy Festival. But the tour of the UK and Ireland starts in January. And similar to you, sort of more expansive than I have been before. Some very cool big venues around the place. But I would bet that I'm coming at least nearby to wherever your listeners are.
Yeah, you also, it's that thing of like, you want to get to the people, but there'll be, what's your place, right? We always have them. For me, this tour, this leg, it was Dundee. It just was always a tricky one to sell. What's the place where you would just want to go there and kick them up the arse and say, what the fuck?
Well, there's one that I insist on going back to, and I've done two tours there already, and sort of fiscally it makes absolutely no sense that I'm going back because it's only ever been half full, and it was the exact same people both tours, and none of them brought any friends the second time. Middlesbrough. For some reason in Middlesbrough, I can half fill the small room at the town hall. And also, if there's any of the staff members at the Town Hall of Middlesbrough, can you stop doing allocated seating for a room that you could very comfortably make cabaret if it was half full, rather than me going in and having people dotted around all spaced out so it's impossible to create an atmosphere?
Exact same experience with Middlesbrough. Really cool people, like punters, really cool. But just from day one, you know, you get your first sales report and like a lot of them, you'll have like, you know, 40, 80 on the first day, and then it'll be just like two. And then you know it's going to be a slog. And none of the marketing that you do reaches them to the point where you start thinking there's some sort of like North Korean embargo on external shit.
Do you know what I think it is? Last time I was in Middlesbrough walking towards the tour venue, I took a little like slightly longer walk around a block. There's a pub across the road that does 5 pints of Foster's for £10. And I do sort of think if I'm charging, what, £16-18 a ticket, and instead of coming to see me, they can get maybe 10 pints, I think, who is leaving the pub?
Also, they have to walk past that pub. That's the other thing. The people from the surrounding area know, I know exactly the pub you mean. So I was, the dressing room there is adjacent to that pub. And I was I was sitting there, it was like 6:30, and I was just hearing fights, fucking everything goes after the football. The actual Middlesbrough Town Hall has a bouncer for Saturday evening gigs. I've never seen that before. And then he just said to me, he said, don't worry about it. He goes, I said, I'm a bit worried about walking back to my car. He said, don't worry, by the time your gig finishes, they'll have all done all their Charlie and run out of money. And it'll be really quiet. And he's absolutely right. They'd all done all their gear and they'd done all their dough. So listen, if you want to see Vittorio in Middlesbrough or anywhere, a brilliant live comic, do check out his website. And is that the best place to go for tickets?
Yeah, vittorioanzalone.com/tour.
Lovely stuff. All right, so we're going to talk about this Vogue article now that said, is it embarrassing to have a boyfriend? And as I say, we had this recent chat about how, you know, something like TikTok is 2/3 female. It's the most female skewed site. Mm. Instagram is about 55%. And, you know, there's been a rising tone of language. I don't know if you've noticed it, but being one negative about men, dismissive, but increasingly hostile, right? Yes. So I kind of think, I'm not comparing it directly with the Andrew Tates of this world, but there's definitely a language that has evolved. I mean, I gave a couple of examples last time. One of the new ones I've noticed is if a woman is what they call a baddie, i.e. just really fit, a lot of the comments will be, no man deserves all this. Like, that's their instinctive thing, is to see a beautiful woman and think, no man just deserves to have this. You go, first of all, she might be a fucking nightmare. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, almost certainly.
She might be an awful human being. Her hair and her boobs and her ass, it might be the only good thing about her. So it's an interesting sort of like community that is hostile to men. And the article I thought was interesting. I just want to read a few excerpts from it. Well, the language online evolves so quickly as well. In the intro, it says that women, far from fully hard launching romantic partners online, straight women are opting for subtler signs. So this is the idea that people have an online imprint, have to like launch their boyfriends. It's just a really
The soft launch of the boyfriend, where you just, somebody else has taken the picture of you having dinner, and maybe it's clearly a man's hand that's in the forefront of the picture.
That's exactly what I'm
there's a man. Yeah, there's a man.
So yeah. Soft launching your boyfriend. First up, right? If there was a bloke talking about launching your relationship and speaking of the woman as like a brand kind of commodity, that might be a problem, right? But apparently this is understood by me. It says, in other words, in an era of widespread heterofatalism, I need you to explain what the fuck that is to us old fucks.
Heterofatalism, I think it's probably well, there is a feeling, I think, as well as there being a judgment towards men, I think there's a judgment towards just being just straight.
It's lame. Normies. You've been a normie, you, man.
You've never been bummed. What's wrong with you?
It says here, women don't want to be seen as being all about their man, but they also want the clout that comes with being partnered up. Yeah, it's a tricky one, ladies. So the journalist goes on to say, there's another excerpt I've got here. When I did a call out on Instagram to my followers, some women feared the evil eye, a belief that their happy relationship would spark a jealousy so strong in other people that it could end the relationship. So I don't know if this is like this mystical thing. I think underrated is how mystical women are generally.
Yeah.
A lot of female comedians will have like crystals in their handbags.
A lot of male comedians have crystals in their pockets now.
Fuck it. The game's gone.
Vittorio. Dan Tiernan and Ed Knight and Mike Rice, for the duration of this year's Edinburgh Fringe, were regularly buying crystals. There was this one woman who had a crystal shop in Edinburgh, and she was making an absolute mint off gullible young men.
So just to be clear to listen here, this is not crystal meth. Crystal is not a euphemism for a hard drug, which comedians should be doing at the Fringe. This is actual biological males with crystals in their handbags. Fucking disgrace.
But they said, I mean, both Ed and Dan got nominated for Best Show at the Fringe and are convinced it was the crystal.
Okay, well, I'm going to send me a link. All right, I'll look into it. Yeah. Most people think. Well, we've got another quote here from this. That's it. So in the Delusional Diaries podcast, which is by two New York-based influencers, two female influencers, they discuss whether having a boyfriend is lame now. Why does having a boyfriend feel Republican? Reads a top comment with 12,000 likes. It goes on. Boyfriends are out of style. They won't come back in until they start acting right. Acting right, Vittorio.
This is unbelievable. This is so cutting.
The dynamic has changed, but it's interesting to see it formalized in a way. And then the journalist herself, this is from the final paragraph, says,
you're using the word journalist very loosely here.
Yeah, the scraper of the worst human sentiment says, obviously, there's no shame in falling in love. I mean, like, just the fact that you have to qualify that. Look, you know, no shade on people being in love, Look, if you need
I'm
to
not
be
one to judge.
I get it. We all have our weaknesses.
Some of us have a monogamous love kink, and you shouldn't kink shame us for it, actually.
I mean, it's just there's phrases around as well about young men, and like, I do think we need to talk about this, because for you, you're doing all right for yourself. You're getting on for 30. I'm of an age where, yeah, the male privilege actually meant something quite distinct, which I can understand. But if you're a young man, hearing phrases like the decreasing financial utility of men, that is a phrase that's out there. And what it makes me think increasingly is I don't feel as bad about the patriarchy, because I sort of feel that there are a number of people, if they just had the same access to power, they might have done something just as bad.
Well, there was I think there was a classiness to the patriarchy. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was sort of, We didn't rub it in your face in the same way. It was sort of like, women are gross. I don't think there was ever a women are gross element to the male dominated society.
The compensation was there, wasn't it? The compensation was like, we're going to open doors, we're going to treat you like the gentler sex, the fairer sex. It was almost like, look, we've got this privilege, let's just say some nice stuff the other way and let's not rock the boat.
We need chivalry going the other direction.
I mean, the patriarchy as well, I do feel like we're going to get some clap back for this, so I'm always open to feedback. What most people
Hi folks, we're two comedians talking absolute shit. Get over it.
It's a podcast. We're candid and ill-informed. But I'm interested with the female listeners, what most people think, uk@gmail.com. Do you think this is just like fuck about, find out for men? Or are you kind of worried at the way that the dialogue, particularly among a certain, and I'm going to say this is, hey, not all women, hashtag not all women, but among women, a certain corner of social media is going, because you've got sons, right? Like, I mean, one last point on this, the patriarchy. When you people are asked to define what it is, it does start sounding a lot like a conspiracy theory. Right,
they run the media, they run the banks.
Yeah, it's a system. It's a system. You go, well, okay, the system seems like it might be a net consequence of something. I'm not sure it's a system, but like most, if there is a patriarchy, almost all men don't go to the AGM. Let's put it that way.
Yes, no, I don't feel like I'm involved in the higher ups of the patriarchy. I feel like I have some benefits from it, but I don't feel very in control of it whatsoever.
I mean, I trust them to look out for me, but they haven't been doing a great job, have they, recently?
No, it hasn't been great. But maybe this is just like, you know, this is the turn of the women to be toxic. But then I would ask the question of the women who are saying they're nervous about judgment from their peers on Instagram about like them having a boyfriend. I would ask the question, who's that judgment coming from? Because it's not other fellas. If a fella might see you, if you're a very attractive lady and you have a boyfriend, and go, ah, for flip's sakes, she's got a boyfriend, that's a shame, as if you ever had a chance with him. But it's the women that'll sort of come for them and be like, eh, look at him, he's gross, why is she with him, blah, blah, blah.
Well, do you know what it might be the equivalent of? It's like, you know when a bloke would get in a steady relationship and then blokes would go, oh, man down. I mean, it's literally just flipped to the other side.
People talking about weddings like funerals. It's just the opposite of that.
It is funny, like the old school thing when blokes would just be looking at him, just like shaking their heads.
Yeah.
I remember an episode of Made in Chelsea, actually. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I did used to watch it, you know, full disclosure. And Binky and JP were in a relationship, and it was the most beautifully edited thing. Binky told her girls that she was pregnant, and they were screaming, there was squealing, there was hugging. This went on for a few minutes, and then it cut back to JP with his mates. It was just like he told him he had stage 4 cancer. It was so funny. They were like
morning.
They were putting a reassuring arm on him. So look, I do get the argument that what goes around comes around and it's women's turn. But I maintain that men who are really young today didn't have a turn. So, you know.
This is what I even feel this at 29. I'm like, I don't. It feels like I was born and then everyone went, you're a bastard, you caused all of this. And I was like, I didn't get any of the benefits, I'm afraid. Do you think we might have, I like the sort of softer elements of this. You know the way when your mate gets into a new relationship, he suddenly shows up to the pub in like a new shirt that's a different type of shirt that he never would have worn before.
Yeah.
Do you think the opposite is going to happen where women are going to show up in just like, what would the men dress their new girlfriend as?
Oh, so if they're more in touch with their feminine side, they'll have views on what women should wear. Like, so she turns up in a new pair of wedges and her friends are like, she never wears wedges.
Yeah, why is she wearing a Man United 2004 Ronaldo top?
Okay, for everybody else, it'll be the end of the show, but me and Victoria are now going to share a couple of war stories. A couple of times that we died on our ass at a comedy gig. Vittorio, thanks so much for coming back on the show, mate. Just remind us of the name of the tour and where people could get tickets.
The tour is called You Can't Say Nothing Anymore, and tickets are at my website, vittorioanzalone.com.
Okay, do check Vittorio out if he's in a town near you. And listen, for the patrons, definitely if he's doing Omar again, go and show some moral support.
I've sworn it off. I'm not even doing County Tyrone, never mind Omar.
Listen, yeah, thanks very much for listening this week. I'm going to do a breaking news episode later in the week, but have a good week.
Heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.